Tucked between two volcanic areas in southwestern Italy, the coastal city of Naples, at the turn of the 20th century, was among the poorest regions in Europe. Baldassare Naclerio was 13 when his family moved from Naples to New York City in 1900, part of a tidal wave of Italian immigrants flooding the United States in search of economic opportunity. Like many others embracing assimilation, Baldassare Americanized his first name, becoming Harold. The Naclerios lived in the Upper Manhattan neighborhood of Harlem, which wouldn't become an African-American enclave for several more decades. Within months of his arrival, Harold used his woodworking skills to find employment as a cabinet maker. Several years later, he met Julie Ferrioli, another native of Naples. The two teenagers fell in love, married, and moved to tiny Woodridge, New Jersey, to raise a family. Perched atop a hill, their house was weather-beaten yet cozy, with a small yard and garden that Harold kept immaculate. Harold found a full-time job with the American Bell Telephone Company. He supplemented the family income with part-time employment as a mechanic and barber, while applying woodworking and masonry skills on his home. By age 19, Julie Naclerio had a brood of three, which would grow to five and include an energetic, outspoken girl named Ida. After graduating from high school, Ida decided against attending college and landed a job at Lever Brothers, a Britain-based soap manufacturer with subsidiaries in several countries. Of Ida's $5 weekly salary, she contributed $3 to her parents for expenses. Like most women of her generation, her best hopes lay in marrying the right man. On August 10, 1913, Charles O'Shea was born to an Irish couple in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Within a few years, the boy's father died in his sleep, and his mother succumbed to the influenza epidemic of 1918, one of the deadliest in history. The pandemic killed about 50 million people, wiping out one-fourth of America's population. Orphaned at age five, Charles was adopted by his aunt, Esther St. George. When she married a man whose surname was Parcells, her nephew also took the last name. After purchasing two rooming houses on a downtown block, the family moved to Hackensack, New Jersey. Lucinda Whiting, a black cook and maid at the establishment, helped raise Esther's quiet nephew, doting on him so much that he came to view her as a mother. Charles grew up to be a 6'1", wiry teenager with blazing speed, ramrod posture, and an incongruous nickname, Chubby. During the late 1920s, Chubby's athleticism and passion led him to become a three-sport phenomenon at Hackensack High. Also academically inclined, Charles was pursued by several top colleges, and the 195-pounder accepted a football scholarship from Georgetown University, where he would also run track and play basketball. For most of his college football career, Charles was coached by Jack Haggerty, who had once played for the New York Giants, helping them capture the 1927 NFL title. At Georgetown, Haggerty discarded the Notre Dame box, a single-wing offense that had flourished during the 1920s under Newt Rockne, the fighting Irish legend, in which the running backs lined up in a box formation. Instead, Haggerty installed the single-wing offense used by the Giants, based on a long snap and four backs, tailback, fullback, quarterback, blocking back, and wingback. The line was unbalanced. Two players lined up on one side of the center and four on the other. The formation, which resembled a wing, emphasized chicanery more than power. Playing in this Giants-style offense, Charles Parcells became one of the top halfbacks in the East. He was also versatile enough to line up at quarterback and to make point-after kicks.